We count it a privilege to gather together with you like this and just see what God would have for us and let Him work in and through our midst and all. So welcome. Welcome to Jericho Road Christian Fellowship. The vision for our fellowship is just as the name kind of implies, and that is, you remember the man went down to Jericho, on the road to Jericho one day, but he was set upon by thieves and he got beaten up. But along came the Samaritan who took care of him, took him to that inn on Jericho Road where the man received healing and all. And we want to be that place. We want to be a place that you can come, and no matter what you faced on your Jericho Road journey of life, that you might come here and receive encouragement and healing and hope. Our many studies and fellowships and events around here are geared towards that. So jump on board. Come out for these midweek services and various opportunities to let God speak and minister to you. But please know, we count it a privilege to do just that, to be a part of what God's doing in and through our midst around here. Well, as Tim indicated, we're going through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We invite you to turn there. Go to Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4 still. Good stuff, of course, God's words. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, as we get ready to dig into God's word. Of course, more importantly, are we ready for God's word to dig into us? That He might accomplish what He wants to in our lives. Christians are new creations. And that's the awesome thing. When Jesus is invited into a life, when the Lord gets hold of us, He doesn't just refurbish the old person. He doesn't just kind of put a new coat of paint on us. But instead, we are spiritually, we are made brand new. He doesn't clean up that old nature. He gives us a whole new one. And that's what Paul's been talking about. As we come to chapter 4 now in Ephesians, Paul's saying, you're a new creation. Don't live in the old way. Don't have to go with those old things. You're free from that. Not to earn love, but because of God's love in you, His work in you, because of the freedom, spiritual freedom we have. Now go live it out. Go live it out is the call. And he sets us that before us in the picture of putting off, he says, the old man and putting on the new man. Letting go of all that old junk with its old priorities and all, and living in this newness that God has created for us. Verse 22, he talks about that you have put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there's this renewal that's taking place. To what end? That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So put off the old, put on the new. And that's what we've been looking at as we've been making our way now through this last part of chapter 4. And if you've been here, you know that in verse 25, we looked at the fact that we were to put off lying. Matter of fact, let me put the little chart up here to remind you, the chart we're working on. The first thing we saw in verse 25 is we're to put off lying and put on the truth. Speak the truth. Then last week, we looked at verse 26 where it says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So we saw that we're to put off anger and that revenge and just stewing in our resentfulness and all. How nothing, that anger does not serve us well. Nothing comes from stewing in our anger and all. Instead, learn to be kind. Learn to put on forgiveness and all. So we looked at that last time. Well, this morning, we've come to verse 28. Let's look at it. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So the third thing we're looking at now, in this whole putting off and putting on, is you're to put off stealing, we're to put on labor or work and giving. Learn to labor and give is the call. Now, it's possible, if you've been a part of this, to kind of maybe this morning say, you know, Pastor, verse 25, I see that. Lying, yeah, need to speak the truth. Okay, maybe I need to work on that, Pastor. Yeah, and even last week, verse 26 and 27, yeah, anger. Well, sometimes that's a problem for me, Pastor, so I can understand working on that. But Pastor, verse 28, stealing, Pastor? I mean, come on. Certainly you're not going to spend a whole session on that one. Yeah, we are. You know, I've said this before, let me just share it real quick. Long before I get up here and share this, God's hammering on me. as I work on and prepare these messages and pray about them and all, the Lord's just speaking to me. And it is one of those topics you look at and you go, stealing, no big deal. Come on, we've got that under control. But I just pray we'll make the journey that I partly have made this week. And just, well, you'll see. But I guess I'm just saying God knows who he's talking to. And he knows what he's doing when he sets this before us. And we can so readily see, yeah, lying, yeah, that's a big important thing here. And anger, yeah. But stealing, come on. Well, we're going to see. Very important point. I guess I'm just saying, once again, let's let God speak to our hearts in all of this. I've called our time together this morning, work and give. Let's pray. Father, it's all rooted in your awesome love for us. That love that caused you to send your Son to pay the price that we might receive and live, eternally live with you. And rooted in your love is this call that we don't have to go with the old man anymore. We can be set free from that. Let this morning be part of that work, Lord, of putting on this new man, enjoying the new creations you made every believer. But Lord, challenge us, speak to us, have your way, Lord. We know that when you bring these things, it's important and it's good. So help us receive it as such. In Jesus' name, amen. Originally, I thought I'd actually put this out for you to raise your hand to, but I'm not going to ask you to do that. So don't, if you want to raise your hand, go ahead, but you don't have to. But I would ask you a question, and that is simply this. I'm wondering how many here would be willing to admit, don't say it out loud, don't raise your hand, but I wondered if I were to ask, how many of us would be willing to admit that sometime in our life we have stolen? That if you went back and thought through all the way back, I wonder how many here would say, yeah, I've stolen. Now, to make that response, you may have thought, well, let me see. Well, I did do that, but that's not that big of a deal. But I didn't ask you what it was. I didn't ask you the worth of it, because that's not what decides what stealing is. It's have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? Well, I personally would be hard-pressed for any of us to say, I've never done that. Because truth be told, I think we'll see that. Well, I mean, maybe there's somebody who's never stolen, but we're going to see. For most of us, there's some definite application here this morning. And too often, though, what we do is we do reason it away. We do justify it. Well, everybody else, or what's the big deal? It didn't cost that much. I have it coming. But the Lord would want to just lovingly brush that aside and say, no, there's something I want to deal with here. I have better for you, believer. Come on, I've made you new. Don't steal any longer. Now, to that we might say, but that was a long time ago when I stole that thing. I mean, I haven't robbed a bank all week. I'm glad you haven't robbed a bank all week. But we say that was so long ago when we think of this, but are you sure? See, for some of us, yeah, maybe we haven't stolen in a long time. But for others, maybe you've stolen as recently as this last month. Maybe you've stolen something as recently as this last week. And for some, maybe as recently as this morning. And you'll see what I mean by that in just a few moments. Now, to that, you might say, well, Pastor, whenever it's been up, but I'm not that person anymore. I really don't do that anymore. Well, that's Paul's point. We're not that person anymore if you're a believer. We are new. So he said, now live like it. Put on that new life. Make sure it isn't what you're about anymore. Pastor, you've chosen a rough way to begin your time together this morning. Pastor, I didn't come here to feel bad. You're making me feel bad already. Well, please know, I'm not up here to preach condemnation, but I am up here to preach grace and forgiveness. And you know what? We don't really appreciate the cure until we understand that we have the disease. And so God sets it before us, not to rub our nose in it, but to set us free, to break those old things and help us live in the newness that he has designed for us. Let's jump in. Verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So, what's the put off? Steal no longer. Put off stealing. What's the put on? Labor. We might use the word work more commonly today, our work. Labor and give is what we're to put on. Now, I want to break this verse down into three parts. the don't steal part, the labor part, and the give part. So let's look at the first part of the verse. Let him who stole steal no longer. There is no doubt about how God feels about stealing, about taking what isn't ours. The eighth commandment, you can read this in Exodus 20:15. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. So stealing makes the top 10. You'll find in those top 10, those 10 commandments, don't steal. Now again, to that you might respond, well, I don't steal. But are you so sure that you don't steal? We can become used to it. We can justify it. It becomes so normal, we don't even think of it as stealing anymore. But let God speak to our hearts this morning. Before we declare that we never steal, think about this. Stealing takes many forms. Of course, there's the overt taking of something physical. It's not ours. Somebody's not looking. Boom. We steal that. Steal that car or something. Of course, there's that kind of stealing. But there's a lot of other forms of stealing. For example, there's not putting in the time that you're paid for. When you agree to work for somebody, you agree to give them an hour for so much money. And that's by agreement. And they've purchased your labor for that hour. Do they get a full hour? They get a full 8 hours from you, really? Or do you steal from them? When it comes to work itself, as part of your agreement to work, you say, your employer said, okay, you get a half hour, hour for lunch, 15-minute break twice a day. Do you stretch your lunches justifying, well, I work hard the rest of the day? Do you take longer breaks than you should? Well, they don't really notice. That's stealing from your employer. You agreed to a certain schedule. You agreed to work for a certain amount of pay. Now, if you want to renegotiate your pay, that's a separate issue. But you've agreed to put in some labor for that time. Does your employer get the full hour, the full time, or do you steal from him or her? Do you take things from work? Now, right away, you might say, no, I don't steal from my employer. I'm not talking about absconding with, you know, $10,000 from the petty cash. Well, that wouldn't be petty cash, would it? But taking $10,000 from church or from your work or something. That's not, you know, you from where you're employed. You say, well, I don't take that. But no, but still, do other things find their way from work to your home? That stapler at home, where'd you really get it? Those pencils, pens, paper, well, it's small. But where do we read that it says it's the cost that determines it's stealing? We don't. And we get used to, we think it's justified. Well, I work hard, and I put in a lot of extra for him, my employer. So what's the big deal if I take some paper or take this home or take that tool? I'm going to take it back someday anyway, I hope. See, we can start, it sounds so okay and so justified. And everybody else does it, but it's stealing. What's some other ways that maybe we steal? Not reporting our tips on our income for our taxes. Not reporting anything on our taxes. Well, the government wastes so much money, and they're going to give it away to all these people who don't deserve it. That's my money. I'm not going to give it all to them. That's stealing. Have I hit you yet? No. How about downloading that song without paying for it? Oh, come on, Pastor, it's so easy. No big deal. There's so many ways to go around doing that. So what? Or so what if they copied it and I copied it from them and they copied it from them? It's money that was supposed to go to the person who recorded it and you aren't paying them. That's stealing from them. How about that video that got pirated, that you pirated, or somebody else pirated that you paid half price for? That didn't go to the person who made the movie, that video. That's stealing. Have I hit you yet? Don't answer. But think about it. How about cutting corners on a job and yet charging full price for it? Oh, they won't notice that I didn't do all the job. No one's going to notice I didn't do that part of it. Then you just stole from the person that you said you would do that for them for a certain amount of money. See, it goes on and on. It's subtle, and we get used to it. And we justify it again. What everybody else, all my other, all the co-workers do it. It's stealing. Years ago, right after I got out of high school, before I went in the military, I was living up in Orange County, and I went to work at Disneyland, which is no big deal. Half of Orange County has worked for Disneyland at some point. I mean, it's a big place. But I went to work there, and while I was working there, I met a guy there that one day we were going home from work, and I forget if I was giving him a ride home or he's giving me a ride home or something. We're riding along, and as part of our conversation, I didn't know him well, but I knew him somewhat, but we're talking about our paycheck and what you do with your paycheck, your pay and all. And he said, well, I bank my whole paycheck. He said, I don't even live off my paycheck. And I said, well, that's a good deal. How do you do that? What's that about? He said, well, here's what I do. See, his job there wasn't the same job I had, but his job was there. He sold things at those little concessions. You know, the little, you go around the Disneyland Park, you buy popcorn or ice cream or something, they have those little concessions, and he would sell things. And typically it's to children. So what he did was, all day long, he shortchanged children. You know, kids come over, mom or dad gives them a buck or something. I want an ice cream, give them the ice cream, shortchange them. Now, back in those days, a nickel, a dime a person, it adds up all day long. They sell a lot of ice cream. And let's face it, as a parent, when's the last time you checked how much change your kid brought back to you? You know, you give your kid a buck or two, they get an ice cream, they come back, you don't go, hey, hold it. How much? You just pocket it and off you go to the next ride. And he learned to read which kids would work at that, and he just shortchanged kids all day long and pocketed the money. And if you ever caught him, what did he say? Oh, how much? Oh, I'm sorry, I owe you a dime. See, he could get away with it. And he just shortchanged kids all day long. Point is, he got so used to it, it was like a regular thing. That's what he lived on. See, we can justify. It can seem so okay to cut corners, to whatever it might be. So don't be so sure. And let the Lord speak to us. Are we stealing from anybody? The argument we often use is, well, I need it. I need that thing. But think of it. To steal, the bottom line is, when you steal, you don't trust God. See, because we think, well, I'll be better off with that. I need it. Whatever we justify it with, the Lord would say, no, the bottom line is, you don't trust me in this. You're not trusting my provision for you. You're not trusting that I will give you what you really need, that I can take care of you, that I know if you really need that thing or not. To steal is to not trust God. I was studying for this, and I read what one commentator said, and he said this, I did not like it. And I thought about not sharing it with you, but I thought, hey, if I got to say ouch, you can say ouch too if it applies. But listen to what he said. He said, no matter what you may feel, your reason for stealing is not your need. He said, it is as Jesus said. And then he gave this scripture. They had come to Jesus, hassling Jesus about why they didn't go through the ritual washing of their hands. But in his response to them, he said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. Yeah, bad stuff out of the heart. Thefts. Wait a minute. Now look at that. Thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. It's not what goes into you, Jesus said, it's what comes out. And the things that show our heart, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. And then the commentator said this, you are not a thief because you steal. You steal because you're a thief. And I went, ouch! What's he saying? It's our very nature. That's the point. That's the old man. Out of the heart comes adultery, murder, fornication, and yes, stealing. It shows the condition of the old man. That's why Paul's saying, don't live like that anymore. I've made you new, the Lord says. You don't have to go with that anymore. Don't let that part dominate anymore. Don't go with that anymore. See, it's always an issue of the heart from God's perspective. And these things just reveal why we need that work. And he's working that work in every believer. But now, yield. Let him go with it. Go with what he's saying. Because remember, in the end, if we don't put on the new man, we violate verse 30. Look at it. Remember, we talked about this originally. Everything rotates around verse 30. For it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. When we lie, when we go with our anger, when we steal, we grieve God. Because you were saying, you can't take care of me, God. I can't trust you fully, God. You don't know what's best, God. I do. I need that thing. And we grieve God. We violate verse 30 when we steal. As we saw, none of us, or most of us, are not immune to this. But maybe you do sit there and say, no, I think I've done pretty good, Pastor. You talk about these things, so far it hasn't hit. Well, let's try one more. There's one more point about stealing I want us to consider. Because maybe you still feel like this whole topic doesn't apply to you. Leave your Bible ribbon or your bulletin right there and turn to the left and go to the last book of the Old Testament. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. If you know your Bible, you know probably where I'm going. But no one's made a dash for the door, so far so good. But go to Malachi chapter 3 for a moment. Verses 8 and 9 of Malachi 3. Matter of fact, I'm going to put it up here in the overhead for us. In Malachi 3, the Lord's speaking to some people who thought they were doing pretty good. But he says to them, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. God says they were stealing from him. They were robbing God. And they said, how? How are we robbing you, God? And he said in this, in tithes and offerings. Now, maybe you sit in and you read that and you say, you still missed me. I give. Maybe you sit in and say this morning, no, I do tithe, Pastor. I do tithe. And maybe you do tithe. And if you do, great. If you do, then you know the blessings of tithing. But before you say, doesn't apply to me, I tithe, let me ask you something. It's rhetorical, don't have to answer out loud. But what does tithe mean? Tithing to tithe doesn't mean that when the bag comes by, you rummage through your pocket for some change and drop it in. I found a buck. I'll put a buck in. See, I tithe. No. Unless you make $10 a week, you did not tithe. And I doubt if you live on $10 a week. For tithe is an actual word that means, it actually means, it's a word that means tenth. Tithe means tenth. Now I got some people's attention. Everybody's going, huh? The Lord calls us to tithe. He's saying, when I give you a buck, would you be willing to put a dime back in for the purposes of God? A dime back in spreading the gospel or ministering to people, whatever it might be, the needs. For every buck I give, would you give a dime? I don't know. Now you're asking a lot. Okay, I gave you that buck, but a dime back is too much. Because he says, you know what? You're robbing me. And this doesn't mean to just all of a sudden, well, okay. It means to purposefully give, to make the commitment that God, you have blessed me. You do take care of me. Yes, I'm going to commit this back to you. And you know what I found? God caused the 90% to go a whole lot further than when you hang on to all of it. He just does. He'll make that refrigerator last longer. The car won't break down as much. There's all kinds of ways that he'll bless us. Because there's an interesting thing here. So many people say, Pastor, I couldn't afford that. I can't give God back a dime for every buck he gives me. I can't afford it. God says, you can't afford not to. For this is a command with a promise. For look at the very next verse. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. A command with a promise. God invites us. Try me on this one, he says. Try me on it. Just trust me in it. Don't steal. And you give. For he says it's stealing when we don't. So this morning I ask, was there robbery committed this morning in this sanctuary? We already received the tithes and offerings. Was there robbery committed? Don't answer out loud. It's between you and God. You ever hear when Tim prays, we pray over the tithes and offerings? Tithes are 10%. Offerings means anything's above and beyond. For we often will be touched by something. We say, I want to give it a little something to that purpose or whatever it might be. It starts at tithe and then beyond is offerings. That's what we pray for. So I wonder, was there robbery committed here this morning? Now let me quickly mention something. I don't get paid on a commission basis. Okay, that's important you know that. The ushers and elders don't get together afterwards and count up and say, okay, pastor, here's what you made today. You get a cut of the action. No, my salary is set once a year by the board, and it's set. I don't get paid a percentage of the cut, so to speak. I'm not sharing that for that purpose. I'm not sharing all this for that purpose this morning. I declare this because it's a command with a promise. It's a command with a blessing. Now the ball's in your court. But look what God says. Try me on this. And look what he says about robbing. And so I ask again, is there robbery? Was there robbery committed this morning? See, this verse, these promises, they're still a blessing for today. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. That's Old Testament. You're hitting us with Old Testament. Well, one time Jesus was talking in the New Testament about some things with the scribes and Pharisees. About how they tithe every little thing. And he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, different seeds and all, and you neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He says, you guys tithe, but you forgot about mercy and justice and faith. Now, Jesus doesn't say, oh, and by the way, do that, but don't worry about the tithing. That's all going to go away. No. He goes, you should be doing them justice, mercy, and faith, but don't not tithe either. You should be doing both, Jesus said. Do we trust him? Don't steal. Don't steal horizontally, and don't steal vertically. We must move on because of time. Go back to Ephesians, your Ephesians 4 passage. Let's look at the middle part of that, the second part. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, what is good. The word labor there is a word that means to exhibit great effort and exertion to the point of sweat and exhaustion. I want to take a moment and encourage you in your work. No matter what you do, and my concern is maybe you've lost sight of this point, and I want you to know this. You matter in what you do. Sometimes we feel like our job is so insignificant, menial, nobody knows. Above all, God knows and he sees. And it's an honorable thing to make an honest living. So I want to encourage you. You have an important part in your job. First of all, you have an important part in the community. Because I get to know some of you, I get to know some of your employment, I often find myself, as I think of you, I'm driving around or something, and I think of you guys, I often think of some of you and what you do. And I may realize maybe you lose sight of it, but from my perspective, you matter. You're important. You have a part of the greater community, and what you do matters. It does. So don't lose sight of it. I want to encourage you in that job that you have. But not just in the community do you matter, but especially in God's plans and purposes, your work matters. And again, though we often lose sight of it, just to work honorably is a good thing, and it honors God with our testimony, our witness. It's what he designed and he planned for us. Providing for your family is a good thing. You remember the verse. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Uh-oh. What an important challenge, important verse. This doesn't mean you lose your salvation as a believer if you don't work. And sometimes health or periods of unemployment come along. I understand that. It can be rough. But in general, there should be the goal to seek and have and maintain employment for the purpose of providing, first of all, for your family. And that's a good thing and an honorable thing, and God sees it, and that's what he's declaring. Part of the new man is work and see the honor and the dignity of that, just the doing of it. And thank God that you have the job, and thank God you have the strength to do that job. And he's provided that means for you to provide for your family. But I want us to remember something else. See, God created work way back in the garden. A lot of times we feel that work certainly must be because of the fall. No, way back in the garden, when God made Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, he gave them a job description. He gave them a job. Tend this garden. Take care of this earth. Then yes, the fall came. That created some weeds in it and all. But the point is, work itself is not a curse. Now, tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off, you might disagree with me. But God created work, and it's good. It's honorable to do so. But especially, see your job as a gift from the Lord. And that he wants us to use that job as an opportunity to glorify him every day. Pastor, you don't know what I do. How am I going to do that? Well, first of all, in how you do it, because people watch. When you do it honestly, truthfully, with integrity, people watch how you do your job, whatever it might be. And I hear about some of you from time to time, about what great jobs you do and the honorableness you perform your job in and all. And God sees that. And that's a blessing. But let me say this. There's also this idea. When I first received the Lord, I was in the military, and the young man that led me to the Lord, he had a different job than I did where we were stationed. But after I came to the Lord, I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, didn't know a thing. But he began to disciple me, and he gave me this challenge. He said, let's get together every morning before we head off to our respective jobs, and let's just pray. And let's pray that God, throughout the day, that God, in the midst of our job, that he would help us to let that job, let our interactions, let the job be a vessel he might use. Let's just pay attention for needs around us. That in our job we might say a kind word to someone that needs it, or learn about something that later on we can pray for somebody about, or whatever it might be. But he said, just let the Lord use your job for the higher purpose of whatever he might want to do in and through you and in that job. So I said, okay, I didn't know any different. Well, we got together each evening afterwards, and we talked it over. And sure enough, almost every day there was something. Why? Because there's a needy world. There's a hurting world out there, and they need the Lord. They need a word of encouragement. They need somebody praying for them. And so what he was teaching me was how to redeem my day, so to speak. How to let God elevate my day. There's nothing wrong with the job itself. That's honorable and good. But even more than the job itself, it began to be a means for watching God work. Now, I don't mean stopping your job to go minister that, stealing from your employer. But you become aware of something, and you can maybe give that customer just a kind word, or you can at least pray for them. A coworker, they express something during the day. You say, you know what? Hey, let's have lunch together. And during lunch, you share about God's love with them. Or, hey, let me just say a word of prayer for you during break. So you can do all that and not violate the tenet of being a good employee. But he was teaching me, let God elevate even your work, because he wants to use it. Yes, that work you do, it's honorable, it's good, it provides, and it's an opportunity to be a testimony, a witness, and see God work. Whatever it is, God's right there with you. I mean, he may not feel like it, but he is. And he wants to do awesome things in it and through it. Which brings us to the last part, the third part of all this. Verse 28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. I'm sure glad the verse ends right there. Does the verse end right there? Does your verse end right there at the word good? No. Then how come sometimes we live as if it does? That somehow our work is to accumulate and get and have. But it doesn't end right there. Why does he say? Working with your hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. It turns out, yes, we are to work to provide for our home and all, for our family. There's nothing wrong. It's good to have a roof over our head and some food in the cabin and all. But it's not to be as the world says. The world says what? He who dies with the most toys wins. Right? That's what the world says. The goal for the world is to accumulate, to have, to possess more and more, to beat out the neighbor, to have this more and that more, and to climb on. See, that's the world idea. That's what we're taught. I mean, if you have one word slogan for this world, so often it would be more. Get more, more, more. For the new man, we're to be givers, not hoarders. We're to be stewards, is the idea. We're to be givers, not takers. That's the new man. That we might have to provide and to meet needs. For you see, you can view it as it's mine, I have it coming, it's mine, or you understand that God gives us everything to be stewards of. And the blessing of when we say, God, show me how you want me to do that. Again, not always take, but to give is the calling. John says in 1 John, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And that's just one of many scriptures that point out that fact, that we are stewards of it. Yes, do it wisely, but still, we're to give and be open to helping those in need. Well, we've covered a lot of turf, and you've been good students. But I ask you now, not just let it be intellectual, but let it touch our hearts. For what's the call this morning? Don't steal. Don't steal horizontally, and don't steal vertically. Instead, work. Labor, working with your hands. It's good. It's honorable. God will bless it. And let him use it. Let him work in and through it. And trust him. And have faith in him. And learn to give. Why? Not to earn love, because we already are. Not to earn salvation, because you've received it, you're already saved. But that he might work in and through us, this new man work, new priorities, new goals, with the blessings that come with it. So this morning the question is, have you stolen? I'm going to invite the worship team up. As they come up, I want to think about some application time. Have you stolen, again, horizontally or vertically? Remember I mentioned I've studied on this all week, and as I studied on it, I was getting nailed. It really challenged me. But you know the awesome thing is? There's forgiveness. There's grace. Again, God doesn't do all this to rub our nose in it. He's saying, I got better for you. Come on, don't be like that anymore. Don't be about that. Trust me. Lean on me. Experience this work that I have for you. Thank God there's grace. This morning, call upon the Lord if any of this has touched your heart. If he's speaking to you in any way, if you want some altar time while we wrap up our time, come up front. Pray. Get it straight with God. If there's some forgiveness, you've stolen something, you recognize it. And there's stealing of money and time. There's stealing of people's reputation. There's all kinds of stealing. If you're guilty, thank God there's forgiveness. Avail yourself of his grace and forgiveness this morning. Because that's what he wants. Have you stolen vertically? Ask him for forgiveness there and to get it straight with him and get on track that way. Paul's call, if you're stolen, steal no more. Instead, labor and give. Father, all because you love us, you offer us, indeed you do this work of the new man. Help us now, Lord. Help us turn from, if we've been stealing in any way, if there's anything we need to straighten out, whatever might be going on for us, whatever you're laying your finger on, Lord, we give it to you. I pray you'd move amongst all of us now and help us to give you this whole area. And then help us, Lord, to be open to letting you work through us. But through it all, Lord, work that new man work even now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.